Let's open our Bibles today, and we're going to turn to that passage that we read earlier, to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we have here in the verses in chapter 5 through 7, three keys for victorious Christian living. And you want to have victory in your Christian life. So here are three things God's told you that are essential. We're going to look at three, but we're going to talk about one. So, verse 5, it tells us this: "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another." So that tells us one of the first keys is submission. Submission to proper authority, whether it's God's authority or earthly authority. That will help you. If you don't have that, victory will not come. The second thing is humility, the last part of verse 5. "And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Second key is a humble spirit before the Lord. God will bless you greatly. And the third is a trust in God, there in verse 7. And so we read, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You can trust him, and he will see you through. I don't know what cares you have today. I don't know how they appear to you, whether they appear to be minor, ordinary, or whether they seem to be massive. But I do know this: you have cares. Every one of you here has things that are heavy on your heart, on your mind, and on your soul. And sometimes they're very heavy. And God has blessing for you. And I want to pray for you now and pray for all of us that God will give us the blessing that he so desires to give. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father, for giving to us the assurance in your word that you notice, that you know, and that we can take these things to you. Oh, Father, it's one thing to know it with our minds. It's another thing to do it and to have our hearts blessed by the release that it comes when we do cast our care upon you. Father, give us this blessing, we pray today. Draw us near to you and help us to rest in the comfort of your arms, knowing that there is nothing that can harm us. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. The word care means anxiety or the state of being just pulled apart. And sometimes care does that to us. When we see here, casting all your care, those things that pull you apart, that tear you up inside, when you see that, you can take those. And the Bible says, when those cares come, cast them upon him, for he careth for you. And though it's the same word, care and then careth, we have two different ideas. First of all is the anxious care, casting your care upon him. Secondly, we have the affectionate care. He affectionately cares for you and will see you through. And so J. Sidlow Baxter wrote about that, and he said that this is a Savior's never-failing affectionate care that will take care of those anxieties. You know, in the song today that we heard, and thank you for that special music, it's a wonderful thing to think about seeing Jesus one day. But one of those phrases that they sang was, "After the sorrows are taken away." Right now there are sorrows, aren't there? You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 13 that there's a care of this world. In Mark chapter 4, verse 19, the care of this world. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14 says, "We are choked with the cares of this world." Luke chapter 21, the cares of this life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul had the care of all the churches. There are cares in this world, and God tells us in 1 Peter 5, 7, that you may cast them upon the Lord, for he careth for you. You know, one day whenever I read that, I said, that's amazing that this man that God used, Peter, would write those words. Do you feel like you get to know people in the Bible as you read the Bible and as you sit in Sunday school and sit in the preaching services and read your Bible at home? You get to feel like you know some people. I feel a little bit like I know Peter, and I know some people that are like Peter, and I cannot imagine him just doing that. It seems to me that it would take a while for that process to kick in, that he'd be able to say that. Now, of course, this is God's word. He's writing down God's word. But it seems to me that Peter is the kind of person, whenever there's something that rises up, he says, I'll take care of that. And sometimes he can and sometimes he can't, but he's going to do his best. And he needed to learn that he can't take care of everything and he's got to cast it on the Lord. And then I got to thinking about his life. And I began to do a Bible study, and that's what I have for you today. It's looking back at the life of Peter and seeing how he learned to do this. Because I want to learn how to do this. I know I'm supposed to do it, but I don't know how to do it. And I want to learn how. And I want you to see how Peter learned how to do it as you open the Word of God with me today. And so let's go back in the Bible and find a story about how it would come that a man who is impetuous and impulsive as Peter would come to the place in his life where he could say, I can't take care of it. I'm going to cast it on the Lord. And we're going to go first of all to the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. This is the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1. And we have verses 29 to 31 that we'll look at. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue and entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Now Peter knew that he wasn't doing that. He knew that the Lord was the one that would do that, and he had learned now that God had power over sickness, something that we don't have power over at all. Here it is. His mother-in-law is very ill. She's got a fever, and you know, there's nothing that makes you feel more helpless than someone in your family going through a time of sickness or struggle or trial, and you can't do anything about it. And this is scary. One day I was thinking about it and thinking, well, you know, someone gets sick, you go to the doctor. They can't do anything. I mean, they can give you a medication and they can set a bone in place or position. They can put a dislocated bone in place so they can position things where they ought to be and they can give you some medicines that will do some things in your body. But I'll tell you what, they can't do anything. It's God that's going to have to take that medicine and make it work, isn't it? And once that bone is in the right position, it's God that's going to make it heal. So who do we turn to? We don't have anyone but the Lord. And you feel really helpless whenever there's somebody sick. And I'm sure that Peter cared for his mother-in-law. And he was concerned about her sickness. And the Lord healed her that day. Now, I think he learned something from that, about how God can take care of all those things we can't take care of. And I'd like to turn now to a thought that comes from an unexpected place. This is from the Dallas Morning News on May 20th of 1984. And this is words of advice from an outfielder for the Texas Rangers. Mickey Rivers. I don't know. Anyone ever hear or see of Mickey Rivers? Okay. You know all about Mickey Rivers. Good for you. Okay. Well, anyway, here's what he said. This is his philosophy. Ain't no sense worrying about things you got control over, because if you got control over them, ain't no sense worrying. I guess the idea is just go ahead and do something. And there ain't no sense worrying about things you got no control over either. Because if you got no control over them, ain't no sense worrying. I like Mickey Rivers. I never met him. I never heard of him before, but I liked the way he thought. You know, that's one thing to say, but it's not always easy to do. And I hope that we can learn that, like Peter was starting to learn that. The word casting and casting all your care upon him is an interesting word. Do you remember the Bible telling about how the time came that Jesus was outside the city of Jerusalem and they brought a donkey for him to ride upon? And there were people that cut down palm branches and they put them down in the pathway and they took their garments and they removed their garments and they cast them on the donkey. It's the same word. Casting all your care upon him, cast the garment on the donkey. Did they take their garment off, cast it on the donkey, and hold on to the sleeve and go along beside Jesus? No, they didn't. They took it off, cast it on, and let it go. Oh, if we could learn that wonderful lesson. Casting all your care upon him, cast it there, let it go, be done with it. Mickey Rivers, you got the right idea. Look at another place where the Apostle Peter learned. Chapter 5 of Luke today. Luke chapter 5. Now this is verses 1 through 11. If you'd like to read the entire story, I think that it would be profitable, but I won't take the time right now. Anyway, the Bible here tells us that Simon had been fishing and hadn't gotten anything. And this is a different thing than what happens when you and I go fishing and don't come up with anything. You know, I don't know if there's any fishermen here or not, or fisherwomen here, but it is fun to go out and to wet that line and to see if you can catch something. I had no idea, but we lived over on the other side of Worthington, down along the creek. And to go to our house, you had to go down along the creek. The spring before that, we were going back and forth, and I noticed that there were some people that had done some things and put some things down by the creek. And it got more and more, and finally I figured it out. It was going to be the first day of trout fishing season soon. That place is lined up with all kinds of campers and tents, and people have it fenced off, and they've got chairs in there, and they got everything in there. I mean, it's all set aside. This is serious business, is catching fish, isn't it? And sometimes they catch them, and sometimes they don't. And it doesn't really matter if you do or you don't. I hope you do. But if you don't catch them, that's the way it goes sometimes. Peter didn't catch any fish. He had no other livelihood. They probably didn't eat that night. It was serious business with Peter catching fish, and he'd been fishing and he didn't catch anything. And so, anyway, they were washing their nets, and the Lord told Peter this, verse 4. Now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And so they had a great abundance of harvest of fish that day. The Lord that day met his family's needs. Well, I'll tell you, things sure are expensive, aren't they? And there are times that there are people that have a setback as far as employment is concerned. Or they have unexpected expenses that really pile up on them. And maybe there's other problems that come along their way, and that just compounds it and makes it more difficult. And sometimes people say, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to manage this economic situation that I'm facing? Peter learned that you can cast your care upon the Lord. He had abundantly provided. There's times I've gone through economic difficulty. The Lord's abundantly provided. The Lord's been so good. There was a fellow, he said, I have a mountain of credit card debt. I lost my job. My car is being repossessed. Our house is in foreclosure, but I'm not worried about it. Not worried, said his friend. No, I've hired a professional worrier. He's done all my worrying for me, and that way I don't have to think about it. Well, that's great. I'd like to have someone like that. How much does he charge for his services? $50,000 a year, said the first man. $50,000 a year? Where are you going to get that kind of money? I don't know, he said. That's his worry. He's the worrier. He's supposed to do that. That's silly. But you know what? You have someone who says, I will do that for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Where are you going to get $50,000? I don't know, but he does. He knows, and he'll take care of it if that's your need. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him because you are his personal concern. There's another time that Peter learns some more about this lesson. This is back in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Now, this situation is described starting in verse 24. And it tells us there, when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, in other words, the tax collectors, came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free, implying that they were free of the responsibility. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. And so here's this responsibility, taxes. And the Lord Jesus says, this is what you're going to do. And Jesus took care of it. Cast the hook, bring in the fish. How did that fish have the money in its mouth? How did that fish have the money in its mouth and bite the hook at the same time? The Lord did it, didn't he? God did it all. And you know what? There are times when we have troubles that come in that form. There's a kind of troubles where you got sickness and you're helpless. There's a kind of troubles where you've got economic problems and you've been careful and you've been doing the best you can, but it just doesn't go far enough and there's you're wondering how you're going to manage. And then there's this kind of a legal or other kind of trouble that you can have. This is a crazy world we're living in, especially whenever the government gets involved. Now, I'm not going to go off on a rant here, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something that just shows how crazy it is. All the wise people down in Washington, D.C. decided that it's going to be better for everybody if we use ethanol in our gas tanks instead of gasoline. And then they decided that instead of using corn ethanol, which everyone admits now was a really stupid idea, but yet we've still stuck with it, they said, let's make the ethanol from something else that we wouldn't use otherwise, and we'll come up with this thing called cellulosic ethanol. It can be made from something called switchgrass and some other biologic products we don't use otherwise. So we can eat the corn instead of putting it in our gas tanks. Okay. So they said, as of this year, starting at the last year, really, so 2013, they said, you have to, all the companies, energy companies, have to blend in this cellulosic ethanol into the fuel. Well, they started to make some factories to make cellulosic ethanol. And guess what? They found out they couldn't do it. They couldn't make enough. They made a little bit. They couldn't make enough. So there's no place where the oil company can go to buy cellulosic ethanol to put it in the blends. Guess what the wise people in Washington, D.C. said? The law says you have to do it. You're not doing it, so you have to pay a fine. That fine is being paid by the oil company because they're not putting it in, millions of dollars. And guess what the oil company is doing? They're passing it on to you. Latest information I had about a year ago, it's adding about 46 cents per gallon to your gasoline. The fine that we're paying because they didn't put in something that is not available to put in. You know, the legal system is a crazy, crazy system sometimes, isn't it? But if you go astray in some way, boy, they'll come after you. Now, I'll tell you what, it really is a heartache and a headache. There was a family down in Brownsville that was, well, just a blessing to our church in so many different ways, a Porter family. And anyway, they had bought a house that was out in an area where there was a big orchard, and they had a lot of property out there, and they enjoyed it for a long time. They took care of the orchard. They picked the apples. They had a horse that was down there that they had in a section of their property. They had a really nice home, and we enjoyed getting to go out there and going to Sunday school picnics and visiting with them and so forth. And then one day they said, well, we can't keep it up. We're going to move somewhere else. And so they got a situation, another place to move to, and they found a couple to buy the house where they had lived. And so everything was seemingly fine. Then they get notice that they're being sued. Why are we being sued? Well, because the people that bought the house, a young couple moved in, and there was a well there to provide for the house. And the well didn't have enough water in it, they said. And so the woman's father said, you have to sue them so that you can get some money back because they sold you a house that doesn't have a good well. Well, I went in and I testified before the court. And I said, we were there many times with a large amount of people, and there was no problem with the water. And they had a horse in the property, and they took care of that horse, and there was no problem with the water. And I spent a lot of time, and I knew about their prayer requests, and they never once said, pray for us because we're running out of water, and we're having problems with that. In the end, the court said, you didn't do anything wrong. You don't owe anybody anything. But boy, did they go through it while they were getting ready for trial. And you know what? This lady, she and her husband had had the place and they sold it. This lady, Mrs. Porter, spent so many sleepless nights. This thing went on for 3 or 4 years. They kept getting notices and they kept having to talk to their lawyer. You know, it got to the point where she said, I think we should have just paid them the money and be done with it, not have to worry about it. That's how bad these things can be. Dear friend, whenever something like that happens to you, it may be of no fault of your own. It may be that something like that may happen at some point to you. You can cast it upon the Lord, and He will care for you. Oh, dear friend, know this. The Lord Jesus loves you. He knows all about it. And though this world may be crazy, He can take care of the need. Look at another place in Matthew chapter 14. Peter learns some more about how the Lord cared for him. He had just learned that when you've got worries about things like taxes or legal trouble, God will take care of that. And then in Matthew 14, beginning in verse 22 and down through the 33rd verse, I think you know this quite well, but looking at it, you can see this is a time that the ship was out in the sea, and it was tossed by the waves. The wind was contrary, and there came Jesus walking on the water to them. And you know what? Jesus said, it's not a ghost, it's me, it's I, be not afraid. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Well, that's my problem. My problem is that I get frightened. I look around at the situation and I have fears. He was in danger. And he sent up a prayer in a real hurry. Lord, save me. There wasn't time for anything else. I read this one time and I like it. They said that was a flare prayer. You know what a flare is? Shoot off a flare. Help! That's okay. It can be a longer prayer. It can be a prayer of love for the Lord. It can be a prayer of burden that you take to Him. It can be a flare prayer. It doesn't matter. When you realize that you're in trouble, God can help and He can reach out His hand and He can hold you up. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? There was a lady named Elva Martin. She was afraid of the dentist. Felt like there was danger there. She felt like when she got in a dentist chair and her mouth was pried open, that she wouldn't be able to swallow, she wouldn't be able to move. I feel for you if that's your situation. It's not mine. About 4 or 5 years ago, I went to the dentist and he had to do some work in my mouth. And after he was done, I said to him, did I go to sleep? He said, yeah, you went to sleep. So it doesn't bother me to go to the dentist. It didn't bother me at all. But a lot of people are very much afraid of that or something like that. After you get up, you can see the imprint of your fingers in the dental chair for about a week. Well, anyway, Elva Martin was a Sunday school teacher, and she was teaching from John chapter 6 about the same thing we just read about. And she saw this. Just as the disciples' panic reached its worst, Jesus came walking on the water, and He said, "It is I, do not be afraid." And suddenly she said to herself, "I should not be afraid of going to the dentist. That night I went to bed, but not to sleep." She said, "My mind knew that God was able to help me, and yet I was still afraid. Acknowledging His Lordship in my life, I finally gave up my hold on fear. I prayed, 'Okay, Lord, even when I go to the dentist, I will remember Your promise.'" And when she taught her Sunday school lesson then, she felt like she wasn't being a hypocrite. Well, she headed to the appointment. She was nervous, but something different. She was excited. She was sensing that the Lord would give her a breakthrough. And that happened that day. She was calm. She relieved her grasp on the arms of the dentist chair. And every time a thought of worry came to her, she remembered the words of Jesus, "It is I, do not be afraid." This is what she said now. What a joyous time. God suspended my fear. I never thought that I could ever say that going to the dentist was a wonderful experience. But it was. It was. Not because of what went on around me or what happened to me, but because of what was in my heart. With His help, I'm learning to say, God's in control. I will not be afraid. Well, friends, there is this one more thing I'd like you to see today. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. This is verses 1 through 11. Again, this is a longer portion I'd like to spend the time reading right now. But I'd like you to notice, in this section of Scripture, it tells us that Peter was now arrested. And in the first verses of the chapter, it tells us that, verse 2, James had been taken to prison and he'd been put to death. And the plan was to do this to Peter too. And so it tells us in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. And I read that, And I stop and I say, if that was me and I was in the jail and I was chained and the next day they were ready to put me to death, I would not be sleeping. Would you? Do you think that Peter has learned something to cast his care upon the Lord? He was sleeping the night before he was to be executed. And so it says in verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. I don't know if he used his foot or what, but there's Peter sleeping away. Wake up! Wake up! And the chains fell off and the doors flew open and he walked out and he got outside and he said, hey, this isn't a dream. This really has happened. But the thing is, he was sleeping and he had learned to cast his cares upon the Lord. I think that the time with his mother-in-law and her sickness, and a time when he went out fishing and caught nothing, but the Lord filled up and gave him a full harvest of fish. And then that thing about the tax, and he thought, now where am I going to get that money? But the Lord gave him a fish with a coin in its mouth. And all these things we talked about today have come to finally bring him to the point where he said, yes, I will cast my cares upon the Lord and trust in him. There is a man from South Africa. He was a pastor down there. His name was Andrew Murray. And he had a terrible crisis that he was facing. He went to his study and sat a long while and prayed and he thought. And at last his mind flew to the Lord Jesus. And he meditated and he wrote finally these words in his journal. I'd like to leave them with you today as words that just simply reinforce what we read in the scriptures, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Andrew Murray wrote this, first, he brought me here. By that he meant to this situation. It is by his will that I am in this strait place. In that fact, I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love and give me grace to behave as his child. Then he will make this trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends me to learn and working in me the grace that he means to bestow. And lastly, in his good time, he can bring me out again how and when he knows. And so he summed it up this way. Let me say I am here, number one, by God's appointment. God knew about this. God appointed this into my life. He knows all about it. And I can rest because he is perfectly loving. And if he put me here, that is for my blessing. So let me say I am here, number one, by God's appointment. Number two, I am in his keeping. Do you trust Jesus to take you to heaven? You've asked him to be your Savior. You said, I confess my sin. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Will he take care of you in heaven forever and ever? Well, why can't he take care of you now? I am here in his keeping. Number three, I am under his training. I will learn something. I have no idea what it is, but I will learn something, and it's for my good. And number four, it is for his time. The length of this, I don't know. If it will ever end, I don't know. But I do know this. I am here by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, and for his time. Oh, God loves you today. If you've got a care and you've been having trouble casting it upon him, will you pray for me and I'll pray for you that we learn to cast our cares upon the Lord, for oh, He does care for you. Let's pray now. Our Father, we had no idea of Your love and how great it could be. And we see what You did for Peter. These are not simply words that we read, but this is the truth of what You have done and what You will do. Oh, Father, speak to us now today. We know the truth with our heads and our minds. Let us learn it in our hearts. Jesus loves me. Bless that person here today who's struggling. Help them whenever their mind is confused. Thoughts are buzzing around and flying around like bees. They can't really position one and get it focused on one. There's just so much confusion. Give them peace of mind. Give that person security and assurance in Your hands and to know that You love us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.